A reading from 1 Timothy, beginning with the first verse of chapter 2. First of all, then, I urge you that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high position, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus himself, human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested to at the right time. For this I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. A young pastor just out of seminary received his calling to his first congregation. He'd grown up in a small town not unlike ours, and he was called to be the new pastor of a town about 20 miles away, similar size, but a very different people from those he'd grown up to and knew. And as he began his ministry in this congregation, almost immediately he was challenged, faced with circumstances, some that were in his control and some that were beyond. He'd certainly made mistakes beginning in his ministry, but he'd also been a victim, I guess, in some ways of the power struggles and those who just seem to maybe always want things their way. And it eventually came to a head. The main ramrod that was ready to get rid of his new pastor organized a group of people, and they had that congregational meeting, unbeknownst to the pastor until he arrived, that there would be a vote that very evening if he was to retain his position of pastoring the flock. And after a long list of accusations provided by those who were in disfavor of the pastor, it seemed that the vote and his dismissal would be inevitable. But after the presentation was made, one of the longest standing members of the church, an elderly lady who taught the main ramrod who wanted to get rid of the pastor in high school, stood up from the back of the church, and with her cane tapping on the hardwood floor as she walked all the way down the aisle of the church to where her pastor was standing before the congregation, she made it just shoulder to shoulder to her pastor, and she turned around and faced the congregation. After a few minutes or moments pause, someone said, "Miss B, do you have something to say about this matter?" And she proclaimed simply this, "Nope, I don't have a thing to say at all. I just want to stand with my pastor." And with that, others joined. And the vote never materialized because she stood with one who she come to love. In our scripture that I shared with you, where Paul writes this letter of guidance to Timothy, his son in the faith, one who he is nurturing because they have grown in love in ministry. He begins by preparing Timothy, friends, with one of the most important gifts to our journey of life and faith, and that be our prayer life. He says to Timothy, embrace your prayers with prayers of intercession. Intercessory prayer, as we sometimes call it. And when I think of that word of intercessory prayer, I am mindful of the story that I just shared with you about Miss B standing with her pastor. You see, when we pray intercessory prayers, we intercede for those around us. We speak up for them. And sometimes, as the actions of that elder in her church, sometimes our actions and bowing in prayer say more about our affection for others than anything we can express audibly. So as we hear, as we listen as disciples to this call of Paul to the church and the leadership of Timothy, may we embrace daily and fervently a commitment to intercessory prayer. I like to say that intercessory prayer is the who of prayer. It's who we lift up. It's who we offer our hearts to God on behalf. May we intercede daily and know the gift and power of that great gift. I visited with Ann and Bobby through text message this week, and we spoke of praying for each other. And we have that common connection of saying those prayers mean so much. When we lift up another, we intercede to our God. Friends, we are calling upon miracles of grace. May we embody that same spirit that Paul called forth for Timothy to share with the church. Paul also speaks of another form of prayer. And oftentimes, the prayers of intercession and the prayers of supplication that Paul mentioned, they seem to intertwine. But in many ways, they're quite different. If intercessory prayer is the who of praying, then supplication is the what of praying. It's what we ask of our God. It's embracing the needs of those that we love and lifting them to the highest heaven on behalf of their journey of faith. Supplication is asking God to supply the needs of those that we love and that we're called to minister to. You know, when I think of supplication, I also hear these words of our Lord where he says that as we, those who were in need, received a great mediator from heaven, Jesus Christ, who spoke to God on our behalf, then we should mediate for those around us. We should lift our needs and the needs of those around us to God, just as we've received. That's the prayer of supplication. In our reading that Sharon shared with us this morning from Jeremiah, the question was raised by the prophet when he asked these familiar words to many of us of the words of that prophet. Is there no balm in Gilead? You see what prophet Jeremiah was saying to us. He'd been in exile to Babylon along with the people of Israel who were taken from their homeland. Some 10,000 people from around Jerusalem and the holy city were exiled to Babylon. And they said, we've prayed. We've asked and we wonder now, is there no balm in Gilead? Gilead was the place just southeast of Galilee that was known for herbal treatment, where people could come and find healing and deliverance from their illness. Now, Jeremiah asked this question in a spiritual sense. Is there no deliverance for us in our captivity? Think of it this way. To Jeremiah, to the people Israel, their captivity seemed hopeless. Imagine with me in an economic sense, if 10,000 people were held basically as slaves in a foreign land, you're talking about, friends, about $1 billion economic impact if those people were delivered in freedom. So we understand the challenges that the people Israel faced, the hopelessness and the unlikeliness that they would be delivered outside of a miracle from heaven. And friends, that's how hopeless we are in our separation from God. The writer Paul says to us that just as the people Israel had no hope to be delivered from their captivity, we, dear friends, are held captive and separated from God because of our sin and our brokenness. We too need a mediator. You know, if you think of mediators, those who help arbitrate a disagreement, or a financial disturbance, as we hear in our text today where he speaks of the people being ransomed by God, by His grace. Imagine if you had a business transaction where you raised or owed a sum not unlike the billions that it would have taken to set the people Israel free. Maybe even if it was a simple few thousand dollars, but you had nothing to pay. And the mediator, the one between you who wanted to be paid and you who had nothing to pay, said this. The mediator said, instead of just negotiating this, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pay the full amount. I'm going to make it go away. I'm going to overcome the ransom myself. You see, that's just a small example of what Paul is trying to say, that Jesus Christ came to earth to us to do, not just to simply mediate and speak to God on our behalf, but to conquer our debt forever. He embraced the ransom that was needed to make us perfect once more in the eyes of God. That's the gift of life that's spoken of here by the Apostle Paul. So he says, as Christ Jesus came to give His life that we may have life, we, those who have received this great gift, should give that gift to those around us. As we sang about this morning, did you hear the words of that anthem that Jennifer inspired and gave us to sing today? They will know we are Christians by our love. It's not only what we say, it's what we do in our world that speaks so much about the God that we preach and who delivered us. You know, I'm intrigued of one word that's mentioned twice in our text today, in the first verse and the fourth verse. Paul says this. He speaks of the everyone of our faith. He says we should pray for everyone. And in verse 4, he says that Christ came to be a ransom for everyone. The gift is available to all of creation because we have a Savior from on high that separated the distinction from Jew and Gentile, from slave and free, from male and women, regardless of location, denomination. God's grace was sufficient and is sufficient through Jesus Christ our Lord. He said, I came for everyone. You see, if Christ Jesus came from everyone, then we as His church should love everyone. We as His church should practice our faith so that the world, when they look upon us, will know that we are Christians and they will be drawn to the saving power found in Jesus Christ our Lord. For our scripture says this. Did you hear it today? Where Paul said, our God desires that everyone be saved. Friends, as we reflect upon our life, are we treating the world around us in ways that we're helping to bring forth the kingdom of God? Are we showing Jesus Christ in a way to those around us that we too are ambassadors and arbitrators and those who bring forth the love of our Lord so that we can create even more joy in heaven? Don and I were talking this morning. He asked me, he said, did you see our workers from the Tippah County Jail weed eating on the side of the road this week? And I said, I did. He supervises those people. And in every way he can, Don tries to minister to them. Not just through his words, but as I shared with him this morning, through his witness. You see, every day we have an opportunity to represent the faith and embrace the words of Paul to know that our gospel is for everyone. Even those we think that are lost causes, even those that we may be disenfranchised from, even those who see the world differently from us, friends, Jesus Christ came because our God desires for all to be part of the heavenly family. The final instruction of prayer today, beyond intercessory and after supplication, Paul says this, may we also, dear church, pray prayers of thanksgiving. See, I don't know about you, but before I can be thankful in prayer, I have to at least be mindful of how blessed I've been and how fortunate I am to be a child of God's grace. May we daily consider our hopelessness without Jesus Christ and cherish the grace, Donnie, with which He saved us, so that as we're mindful and thankful, Rhonda, we will look upon the world and say, they too are part of the everyone. As I've been blessed, may I show them the love of Christ as well. It's in His holy name. Amen.